Who knows what the Lord is calling you to? But whatever the Lord calls you to, whatever God speaks to you in a supernatural way, whatever ministry He places in your heart to do, you must say, yes, Lord, I will do it. I will do just what Mary did. I will say, Lord, let it be according to your word.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, May 12th, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is Mother's Day. And our text comes to us from Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
We're very cognizant of the blessing of motherhood. And it's been put down today, you know, and that's an awful thing. The greatest gift of life would be to have children and then to rear children, to bless children, and mothers, you're there. And so today I felt I should go to the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and take out some of the great lessons that can be used for your life and my life. And though these lessons are directly in the life of Mary and motherhood, it's for all of us, as you will see. So it resonates that Mary was an outstanding mother, a very unique mother in history. We in the church recognize Mary as the mother of Jesus, and we know that she did what no other woman has ever done, and she's blessed among women. We know that. And we thank God for her heart and her disposition to serve God in this way, in this event. And so when we go to Scripture, we find, I have found at least, you know, 27 different items about her life. And we're going to talk about 27, you mind? No, we'll just touch 5, 6, maybe 7 attributes of motherhood, according to Mary, that can be applied to all of us today. The first one that I'd like to address is found in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And in Luke 1, 38, it says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. And this is the number one, I suppose, one of the greatest annunciations of all time. You know, some people wonder, you know, but for me, this is embracing the unexpected in life. None of you are going to get an angel coming to you and tell you, behold. So don't worry about that. Incarnation is only once, you know. But Mary had an attitude to the unexpected in motherhood. She accepted the unexpected news from God. Now, I don't know how you're living your life, but our lives are filled with unintended and unexpected news and consequences. And yet, she embraced her unique role willingly. She said, let it be according to your word. You know, when God speaks to our heart, there needs to be that willingness that's not defying or fighting God, but it's a willingness that simply says, let your will be done in my life. Now, it's not easy, not easy at all, to understand that all of a sudden you're going to have a child. And some people try to have children. Others have problems with having children. But when the news comes, it's an event. And in this case, Mary accepted what God had for her. And when you look carefully at the circumstances of that announcement, you will see how wonderful this position that she had. Mary's experience of accepting from God shows us the unexpected issues of life in our life. And often, you know, we are troubled by news that we don't want to receive or that we were not expecting. But let me just say to you that Mary had an ability to embrace the unexpected. And mothers, you need to also have this ability that when life comes around, we say, this is the day that the Lord has made, except for this, you know. No, this is the day the Lord has made, and all of life is made up of the different lives and situations and circumstances that have come to our life. So I don't want to spend time here just simply embracing the unexpected. Mothers need to learn that. We all need to learn that, by whether we like it or not, we learn that the unexpected is part of life. And I'm telling you, the most unexpected of all events took place some 2,000 and some odd years ago when the Lord spoke to Mary and delivered the good news. But there's another thing that happened in the life of Mary. And we go to Luke chapter 2, verse 19. And in 2:19, things were going on in her life. He says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. It was not an easy time for Mary. But here we look at the importance of reflection. Importance of reflection. Because she had a reflective nature. She thought about it. She processed the extraordinary things that happened in her life. She had this ability to take a step back and say, all right, Lord, what are you saying to me? And you process issues that come to you. Contemplative nature of waiting on the Lord, pondering on what's going on in life. It's reflection that we need in our lives today. It's slowing down and thinking, what is going on and how is this happening? And for you to accept what God is working in your life. Because when you take time to reflect what's going on in your life, what's going on at work, what's going on at the job, what's going on in your marriage, what's going on as parents and grandparents, when you reflect, then all of a sudden, your experiences can provide you clarity. You begin to say, oh, so this is where I missed in the past, and this is how the Lord is showing me how I can get this thing cleared up. It provides you with insight because you're thinking about it. And also, I believe, when you reflect in life, you begin to appreciate those very special moments that shape your life. There are things that have happened to you that have made you into the person you are today. And those are moments of reflection, of pondering, of saying, Lord, I'm going to treasure this in my heart. And there's this uniqueness of talking to God in your heart, not blabbing it all over the place. Did I just say that? I'm sorry. But there's sometimes people talk about what God is doing in their lives as if it was, I brushed my teeth this morning. There are some things that God does inside of your heart that you can only treasure them up in your heart. There is a vestibule, there is a place, there's a room in your heart that is sacred, and no one can get in there. It is the room that God occupies in your heart. It is a place where you ponder, you think, you talk, you wonder, you rejoice, and shapes your life. We need more of that today. I'm all for having a wonderful time, but also there are moments that are very serious in our hearts and lives, and we need to ponder, we need to reflect, because those are the moments that shape our lives. I can think of many in my own life, and I'm not a mother, I'm a dad, you know. But I know things that happened in my life that I pondered. And those are the key points that move me from point A to point B, because I am taking time to reflect in my heart. Mary had a reflective heart. You and I need to have a reflective heart. We need to say, Lord, the events that are going on around my life, Lord, really, Lord, this is the day you've made. Lord, this is, I need to talk to you. And the Lord will give you clarity, and the Lord will give you insight. And again, it will begin to or add to the shaping of your life in both big things and small things. Big things and small things. But Mary not only had the ability to embrace the unexpected, not only did she have this ability to reflect on what's going on now, let me just go back, my life is not going to be the same again. Mary's life was never the same again. She was young, 14, people say. She could have been 13, 14, 15 years old. I mean, it's it, I mean, it's life-shaping. And you and I have those moments where our life is turned around. It turned around. So anyway, reflect, think it through, because big things and small things, but we're all in the process of encountering and reflecting the events in our life. It's a brand new book. I haven't finished reading it. It's a secular book. I like to read everything that's good. And it's called Winter's Graces. In other words, when winter comes, you need to find grace. Not grace the girl or the woman, but grace in your life. Okay. And it's you get to a certain time in your life when all of a sudden things are different. And that's why it's important to ponder. Like I asked myself the other day, why can't I run the 50-yard dash as I used to when I was in high school? And the answer was, you're not in high school. There are some things we cannot do anymore. And they're replaced by other graces that God gives. So the idea of reflection as to living where you are today that is going to alter tomorrow because it's inevitable. Well, let me move on. Because in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 14, we find something that I know it's common in every mother that I know of. It certainly was in my mother. And I almost wore a white coat today because my mother used to wear white all the time. But I said, I'll leave that for another time. Because she loved to dress in white when she preached. She was a pastor. And she was always in white. I got pictures of her in church and they're in white. And there are people here who used to attend her church and they're always in white. And but anyway, let me move on because this is something that I know for true in my mother. Well, my mother was unexpected, yes, things, yes. I came unexpectedly, I understood. there are questions about my birth. That's what they say. You know, that's my brother and my sister that are envious that I came before them. But that's secondary. The fact of the matter is that this third characteristic is resiliency in adversity. I don't know a mother that doesn't go through adversity. And it's found in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. And this is remarkable. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, that would be Jesus' stepfather, in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to what? To kill him. Yeah. You want to talk about adversity? You want to talk about difficult times? So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Yeah, and I don't know a mother that doesn't go through adversity, through difficulty. But Mary was this resilient, just with Joseph. But, I mean, she was tough. She wasn't a wimp. She wasn't a, no me toques, por favor, que soy mujer. If you don't know that in Spanish, then learn it. The language, that is. Anyway. No, don't touch me. I'm a woman, please. She was tough as nails. And she was a woman that you could not stop. And she and her whole family faced danger and fled to Egypt. It was not an easy journey. It was not. I'm sure there were moments of great joy. I don't know. But there were moments of great sorrow and difficulty. I don't know a mother that doesn't go through sorrow and difficulty. And yet there is this resiliency, this I am not going to give up. Mary could have said, what kind of God is this? This surprises me and tells me I'm going to have a child. And now that I have a child, what? All of a sudden they're going to come and kill him? What kind of a God? I know some of us complain because we have a splinter in our little finger. Mary had resiliency. It was a journey that was not easy. They did not have BMWs in those days. They didn't have any car, have a camel. Maybe they walked, a mule, who knows? But her resiliency, she faced awful moments in her life, challenges. But she endured. She endured in the face of hardships. I'm telling you, we have a student in our school who heard about us, and she decided to be part of our school and got into our diploma program from up north in San Jose. And she got her diploma, and then afterwards she kept going and she got her bachelor's. And then she kept going, and mysteriously she jumps over to the Nazarene University, and she gets the master's degree. And then all of a sudden I see her coming into the doctorate degree. I said, I think I know this lady. And when we were doing one of our sessions at the doctor level at the school, she comes out and gives her testimony as part of the assignment. She said, I was homeless. Actually, we were doing an urban immersion. We go downtown LA and we look at everything that was going on and see how the church can help. And she turned out to be, she was a homeless person with a little baby, abandoned by her boyfriend. Was not even married. And she just endured the night of homelessness downtown LA. And then she wound up in San Jose. And she began to do all kinds of odd jobs. And then all of a sudden, she finds the Lord by going to a church. And her life is turned around completely. And in our conversation, as she was telling the story of this adversity beyond measure, of being abandoned and left in the streets of L.A. with a child, she said, in all the time that I was there, not a single church person came to me and talked to me about the Lord. Abandoned. Well, let me just tell you that she actually found the Lord afterwards, but it was in moments that are different than when she was going through her homelessness. Look, mothers go through very hard times in life, and yet Mary was resilient in adversity. She didn't throw in the towel. She didn't say, here's Jesus, Herod, come and get him. Let me leave. And yet I know mothers who abandon their children and give them up. I could go into lots of details, but I tell you, mothers have this ability to love children and hold on to their children. A powerful example of enduring steadfastness in the face of hardship. That's something that should inspire all of us, no matter what we're going through, particularly mothers today, as you go through your tribulations and the lack of appreciation. My mother used to say that, but she's threatened me. She would say, if you would only know the things I did for you. Well, that's what mothers are supposed to do, aren't they? You know how mothers are, intimidating, real tough sometimes. Mother was tough as a nail. Oh, dear God. She would walk into the room and everything would shake, you know, so. But it's true. We go beyond the call of duty. Let me move on. Something else. Number four, which would be faith and trust. You find this in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. Because this, when it comes down to it, this is really what motherhood is all about. She says in Luke 1:45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It celebrates Mary's faith and trust in the promises of God in the midst of the worst, most difficult trials in life. I mean, even today, being an expectant mother without a husband, being 13, 14, 15 years old, people would look and say, what's going on? Even today, it's an issue. But in those days, they were going to stone her. They were going to kill her. Joseph was a great, wonderful person. We'll talk about Joseph in Father's Day, so I don't want to give all of that away, but Joseph was a man of God. who had the ability to hear God's voice in the midst of all the conflicts of his social encounters, and he heard God's voice. But listen, Mary is the one who believed that God was going to fulfill his promises in her. It is a deep faith and trust that God was going to prevail over the circumstances that were going on in her life. Sometimes our circumstances seem to be stronger and louder than God, but God is greater than our circumstances. And God's plan for her life was true. And it should inspire you and it should inspire me that as we believe and trust God where we are today, that the values that we stand for and we trust and believe that God is going to see us through. Let me just tell you, the path ahead of you, the path ahead of me, the days to come may be uncertain to you and uncertain to people around you. But when you face those difficulties and those uncertainties, that's when you need to trust in the Lord and not rely on your own understanding. Faith and trust is the key to motherhood. I'm going to trust God, help me, and God will bless you and will strengthen you. He will do what it's called the desires of your heart in your life. Faith and trust in things that are going on. So if I were to ask you, what's going on in your life? Wow, I wonder what will be going on in your life. But trust and faith in him in the midst of all kinds of things is part of the example that Mary leaves for you and for me today. Can I hear an amen or something? You kind of look like you're falling asleep on me. Well, she's already. That's just like, it's part of my life. But it's not only just faith and trust and not only the commitment to God. And there's something else. I got to say this. In Luke chapter 1, 46 to 47, the scripture says, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Can we say it together? "My soul glorifies the Lord." It goes on. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." There you go. See, this is exactly right. There was joy in doing God's will. Sometimes we look at all the issues that we have to tackle and the sour moments of our life and the anxiety that comes, the misunderstandings, people judging. You know what they did to Jesus. They told him he doesn't have a father. He was called a bastard. Yeah. Try to live that one. And yet, Mary, in her own life, in her own heart, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord." Despite the difficulty, her role as the mother of Jesus, her role as being Mary, her role as doing God's will was where she drew her strength. She did not draw her strength from what people said or not said, but from what God had said to her in her heart. And you and I need to learn how to do this. That the ways in which we can overcome the worst of adversaries, the worst of difficulty, the adversities that come to our life, by rejoicing in the Lord because you know that you are where you are, and guess what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This relationship that we can carry with the Lord in our hearts that causes us to go through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil because the Lord is with you. There's a certain understanding, certain cognition that needs to take place in our daily life as we approach difficulties and joys to say, God's involved. God's in this. I've not been abandoned by God. I've not been left by God. There's such an important aspect of having this joy in doing God's will in your heart. And our relationship with the Lord and our conversation with him, the idea of allowing the Lord to work in our hearts causes us to make our duties a little bit lighter and causes us to understand that there's purpose for what I'm going through, that no matter how difficult it may be, how unconventional my life may be, how stretched I am inside, how sorrowful I may be, how painful I can be. God is working in your heart, and you can glorify the Lord in your spirit, in your heart, because God's working in your life. Can I hear an amen? Because, yeah, it's tough. But there's joy in doing God's will. There really is joy in doing God's will. And it's your personal joy. And people sometimes can put you down. Sometimes. People put you down and you say, yeah, but I am doing this for the Lord. And inside of your heart, you know that God has done a work in your life. Well, there's a sixth point, and I only have seven, so I got one more. And then you'll be released to go to the restaurants and attack the menu. God help us all. Anyway, if you're going to a restaurant today afterwards, I hope you have reservations. Otherwise, McDonald's is across the street, and takeout is good for you. But there's something also very important, lesson that we learn from Mary, and it's found in Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and 40, and verse 56 as well. And it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And then Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Mary understood the value of community and support from others. How do I say this? Well, Mary did not live her life of faith alone, but she had community where she had a space in her own experience where there could be mutual understanding and a sharing of those experiences. I want you to understand that the church exists for community. The church is community. And the value of attending church or coming to church is not simply just to show up once a week, but to have ways in which your life is strengthened and is the way in which God speaks to you and encourages you, is the way God heals your life and heart. Staying away from church because you think you don't need it, you're in real need of church. You know, I'm sorry for repeating something that everybody says, but well, why not? I don't go to church because there's a lot of hypocrites. And you know what the answer is, right? There's room for one more. It's true. Church is not a perfect place. Heaven forbid. It is a place where we all come together as sinners saved by grace. And here mutually we find strength in God. Because we see what goes on in our lives. And the trial that I'm going through today, somebody else already has gone through. And that person comes and speaks to you and you exchange notes and you see how God is working in your life. Let me tell you, it's not just Mary going to see Elizabeth, but also there's a passage in verse, well, actually the story of the shepherds. They came to visit and support. Mary did not live her faith alone in isolation from the rest. She had community. Community is crucial. Attending church is crucial. Coming together is crucial. It's wonderful to have you here. Some of you I've not seen a year ago, from a year. And I'm thankful that you're here. But let me tell you, the real kicker is when you make church a habit, because here is where God dwells, and here's where God speaks, and here's where God deals with you. And all of a sudden, you find out that God's not done with you yet. You say, whoa, I thought I had that covered. And you come to church and nope, wasn't covered. And I'm not referring to anybody in particular here. I'm just saying all of us. I mean, I have to force myself to come to church too, and I'm the pastor. Sometimes I want to stay home and sleep. Why can't I do that? Am I not free? Am I not human? Am I, you know, goes on and on and on. No, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you have to put effort. It's effort in the Christian life. Like the disciplines of the church, you fast, you pray, you're in solitude, you read the Bible. Although those are ways in which you come closer to God. Not that they're going to save you. No, you're already saved. You already have the Lord. It's not something that you gain merit. It's just simply a way of moving into God's grace and understanding what God is doing in your life. You're growing in Him, in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing like it in the world. So I want to say to mothers that Mary certainly showed in a wonderful way the importance of community and support. Don't live out in isolation. You need God's people around you. You need Elizabeth. You do need Elizabeth. You need the shepherds. You need the magi that will come. You need the community to support and to validate your heart in ways in which it cannot be validated any other way. Well, the last that I will mention, and this is the last one, and that's Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. And this is universal compassion and love. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" Wow. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Oh, yeah. You know, if there's anything that Mary was able to convey to everybody, was this heart of compassion and love for everybody. You know, I mean, we live in a strange time here in our country, and yet it was not as strange as in the days of Mary, but because there was a lot of segregation, there was a lot of people who were enslaved and people who were freed, and there was a lot of social distinctions and classes and all of that stuff. But when it comes to God's word, it says, "Do not be afraid. I have news of great joy for all of the people." Not just a small, special group of people, but everybody. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." This is the universal message of Jesus' birth. Joy to all the people. Joy to everybody. It reflects the theme of universal compassion to everybody, love to everybody. And this is what Mary did. She loved everybody. That child that she brought to the world encourages you and me to embrace all the values towards all people. Makes no difference who they are. I think I've told you moments in our life, in our history here, where people kind of look down at certain other kind of people, and we had to put a stop to that. Because sometimes, you know, people can become kind of, you know, prejudiced. And I remember that began to creep in here one time. Someone said to me, "We don't like those kind of people." I said, "Oh, those kind of people are the ones going to stay here, and you are going to go." Didn't say it just like that, but kind of like that. It came out that way. Because we do not differentiate one person from another. We're all children of God. And Jesus came for good news for all the people in the world. So Mary had this ability to share this compassion and love. Mary had this ability to face difficulties in her life. She understood what community was about. She understood what it meant to have joy in her heart. She was able to say, "I magnify the Lord in my heart." She was able to thank God for the things that were going on in her life in spite of things that people would have said, "This is it, call it quits." She had this faith and this trust. She knew that God was going to see her through. Adversity came, but she stuck to it. She fled to Egypt. She went all the way. She had the ability to reflect internally in her heart. But I suppose the number one, and that's the one that I want to finish with, number one quality of Mary, that she was ready to be surprised by God. She was minding her own business, and God surprised her. You know, God can surprise you too. Not with a child. That annunciation is different. But he can surprise you with a blessing, with a duty, with a call, with a ministry, with direction, with purpose, whoa, with serving a living God who lives in your space. What is God doing in your life? Are you ready for the Lord to say, hey, got a blessing for you? Are you? And how will you respond? Mary knew how to respond to the Lord. Against all odds, she bore that child, and his name was Jesus, and he's my Savior and yours today. And not just our Savior, he's the Savior of the world. She could have said no, you know. She could have said no, but she said, let it be according to your word. So in your life, when God speaks to you and says, you need to be active in ministry, you need to follow through this, you cannot say no. You have to say yes. And you have to say, I'll go through whatever it takes. And it may disjoint you when in your social connections that you have. It may shake you up a little bit. It may cause some terror in your heart thinking they're going to come to kill you. Who knows what the Lord is calling you to? But whatever the Lord calls you to, whatever God speaks to you in a supernatural way, whatever ministry he places in your heart to do, you must say, yes, Lord, I will do it. I will do just what Mary did. I will say, Lord, let it be according to your word. Wow. We need ministries to be activated in our church. Every day that we go by, every day that we go by, every week, every month, every year, I pray for the Lord to send laborers to the field because God's calling some of you and you need to say, yes, Lord, let it be according to your word. Not yours, but his word. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right, so who's the mother with more children? There you are. Who's the youngest one? We still don't know who that youngest one is, but she's going to take the prize. Oh, you are. That's right. You are. I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but you're the youngest. Huh?
Yeah,
we're not telling the age. He's the youngest. All right. And who's the oldest? Nobody wants to claim the old one. Who wants to be the oldest? Flores. Huh?
Amen.
You?
I won the prize.
Oh, what? How old are you?
64.
Ah, you're a young pup. Ah, you're young. Aha. Marta. Marta, no, not you, Marta, the other Marta. You got spared. Well, who knows? Maybe it is this Marta up here, you know? Well, anyway, wherever you are, whatever stage, have a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day. And follow the lead of Mary, who has given us an ample example of how life should be lived in the best and in the worst of circumstances. And the rest of us guys who will never be mothers, because I don't believe in that change ever can be possible, we'll talk about Father's Day and we'll show you the role of a father in the home. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Mothers, will you please stand? Just the mothers. Okay, look at that. Look at that. Slowly I get up. David was getting up over there, you know. You don't qualify. Okay, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Are you going to pray for mothers? Yes, you are. Yeah. So now will the rest of us stand and thank the Lord for our mothers that are represented here in this church. Lord, I thank you for mothers. I thank you, Lord, for what they stand for. I thank you, Lord, for their desire to please you. I thank you, Lord, that you've called them to motherhood and they've accepted the task. They have raised children that are here and some of them are with you. But Lord, I thank you for the example and I pray that you will invigorate them and give them strength and that they will be models to the rest of us as we serve you and we look for you. Lord, bless this Mother's Day, every mother in our church. Every mother that can hear our voices and see us through the broadcast, may your blessing be upon them and may we be examples of what it means to serve you. We pray and we thank you this way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
The Lord is good. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. And as Jeff runs to the front here, I want you to just tell somebody next to you, Happy Mother's Day. Go ahead. All right. Let's go to prayer. Lord, we thank you for mothers that have gone before us, and we pray for your grace upon our hearts. But now, Lord, we bring to you Carmen Rodriguez. We bring to you, Lord, her life in faithfulness to you. We also pray, Lord, for Yvonne. We pray, Lord, for the family. Yvonne, Yvette, all of them, Lord. We pray that you would bring your grace towards them, Lord. Lord, we pray this morning for Charlotte and Juanito, for your hand of mercy and healing be upon them. We love you, Juanito. We pray for you, Brother Juan. We pray God will touch you and strengthen you. Charlotte, be healed in Jesus' name. We pray for Grace Velasquez as well and her husband, Lord, for you to work in their lives. And Lord, I pray for everyone here with a need and a concern. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen, and amen. Lift those hands and sing.
I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus.
Yeah, your arms of love. Amen. Amen. You remember when your mother held you in your arms? I don't. My memory doesn't go back. I don't remember that. I my youngest recollection is when I was about 3.5 years old, and by that time I was running all over the place. And so, but I've seen that love, the arms of love, and we are his children. Isn't that wonderful? Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Mother's Day. God bless you.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.